understanding. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, His Excellency Kevin Baugh has his own country, the Republic of Molossia. And you probably haven't heard of the Republic of Molossia because it consists of Baugh's three-bedroom house on 1.3 acres of land in the suburbs of Dayton, Nevada. And his republic boasts a space program, a model rocket, a railroad, also model-sized, and in this landlocked desert region, he has a navy, he says, which is an inflatable boat. The 45-year-old father of two is a micro-nationalist, and Molossia, he says, is his kingdom of me. And of course we know it's ridiculous. A three-bedroom house can't be a kingdom, but in a metaphorical sense, maybe it can. In the last century, individualism has gained such a stranglehold over our psyche that maybe it is truthful to speak of kingdoms of me, and every city has a host of many kingdoms. Jesus, as you know, was very interested in talk of the kingdom. He talked about a kingdom that stands apart from any kind of human kingdom that we could imagine, whether it was Caesar's kingdom in Jesus' day, or Herod's kingdom, or ISIS's kingdom, or Obama's kingdom in our own day, or the kingdom of money, the kingdom of fear, the kingdom of me. The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus said. And he told parable after parable after parable, trying to tell us the goodness that was ahead for us. The kingdom of God is like a treasure, he said. It's like a pearl or like a great banquet. Humans are always going to commit themselves to one kingdom or another, Jesus said, and those who have ears will hear and invest in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a time, or as Frederick Buechner says, it's a time beyond time when it will not be human kingdoms in charge of the world, but instead God in his mercy. Jesus' resurrection marks the triumph of God's kingdom. But as we await the full revelation of that kingdom, God has placed the reign of heaven in the hearts of his followers, so that he might colonize earth with this new life in heaven. This is why Jesus taught us to pray the way he did. What did he teach us to pray? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, to say that God's kingdom has come in Jesus' death and resurrection feels like a bit of a disappointment when you open your newspaper, right? You know, you can always find a few good news stories, but they're really buried among all the stories of the news of our world's heartache. And one of the things that theologians tell us is that the kingdom of God is here and not yet here. And whenever I hear theologians talk about this idea of God's kingdom is come, God's kingdom is coming, I remember being pregnant with Tess. Tess is our firstborn. And because it was our first child, when I was 4 months, I still wasn't showing. So for months and months, no one could tell that I was pregnant. But I knew the truth. Whenever the organ would roll, Tess would kick and do somersaults in my belly. I wasn't identifiably a mom yet, because I wasn't holding a baby in my arms, but a child was being formed, a child was in my womb, and I was already a mom. St. Paul said that the coming kingdom of God is a little like a pregnancy. All of creation has been groaning, he said, like a woman in labor for the full revelation of the redemption of God, of his coming kingdom. The kingdom of God has come, and yet it's not yet come. Do you see how the two can be true at the same time? Well, last week I told you that this Sunday, on Ascension Sunday, I would be talking about what God created the church for. So why have I spent, you know, half the sermon talking about the kingdom of God? Well, the reason I'm talking about the kingdom of God is God created it for the purpose of being a sign of his coming kingdom and being an instrument of that kingdom. So the church was created to be a sign of the kingdom and an instrument for that. I find it very helpful to think of the church as a midwife. The church is a midwife. So God is the one who's giving birth to his kingdom. We can't make the kingdom happen. This is God's baby, as it were. God is the one bearing the kingdom. It's his job to carry this kingdom safely to term. And the church is the midwife. And we're by God's side, and we're doing whatever little things we can to help in that birthing process. So what am I talking about? I want to give you two examples of ways in which the church has acted as a midwife to God's kingdom. Christians in England across denominations have worked together for many, many years to try and influence policies around third world debt. Third world debt it's crippling, right, for many of these nations. And back in 1998, the heads of the G8 nations met in Birmingham in England. And Christians, again across denominations, they mobilized tens of thousands, not hundreds, tens of thousands Christians to come and stand in front of the offices where the G8 were meeting for a prayer vigil. Claire Short, who was then Britain's Secretary of State for International Development, she said that it was that prayer vigil that led to world leaders making their first efforts towards relieving third world debt. Holding a prayer vigil to influence decision makers was a way of midwifing the way for God's coming kingdom, of being an instrument for the kingdom of God. Let me give you another example. This one's really easy. You all know Desmond Tutu. Desmond Tutu was the head of the Anglican Church in South Africa during the time of the collapse of apartheid. And Archbishop Tutu was able to make the Anglican Church into a force for justice. The church, not just the Anglican Church, but other churches in South Africa, were powerful forces for combating the kingdom of racism, the kingdom of racism that continued and for too long had kept black Africans as second-class citizens. For those of you who know a little bit about the anti-apartheid movement, teenagers were really involved. They were often killed during the marches, but they were really involved, and they saw in Desmond Tutu, the little short guy there, in Desmond Tutu, a spokesperson. And one time, thousands of Christians gathered in the cathedral in Cape Town for a freedom speaking advocacy. And when Tutu stood at the pulpit to preach, he pointed to the policemen. And there were policemen that were lining the whole church, and they were blocking the entrance and the exit to the church, trying to control the crowds, right? And the first thing he said, he spoke to the policeman. He said, "Come and join us. You know we will win. So why not be part of the victory?" And then Tutu apparently began to sing freedom songs. And the whole congregation rose as one, and they began to dance. And the dancing spilled over into the aisles, and then the congregation, dancing and singing, flowed out of the cathedral and into the streets of Cape Town, where thousands more joined them. Apartheid was not yet over, but they were celebrating its certain end. The church was midwifing the birth of the kingdom of God. All of us, in different ways, are called to join in this work of midwifery. None of us here are meant to be spectators in the coming of the kingdom of God. We're to be by God's side, helping in his labor. So find something to do that is in line with God's kingdom's purposes. Pick up a bunch of socks at the store for the homeless. Visit somebody sick. Invite a friend to church. Pick up garbage in your neighborhood. Serve for a cause that you are passionate about. I believe that God has given each one of us a piece of his heart. A piece of his heart. We have people here who care passionately about animals. We have people here who care passionately about children, those who care about the poor and the homeless. God has given you a piece of his heart. And your job is to figure out how you're to take God's love and serve him in his world. Frederick Buchner said, "The place God calls you is where your deep gladness and the world's hunger meets." How is God calling you to be his kingdom bearer in our city? But God's purposes for the church is not just that we act as midwives. We're to be a visible sign of that kingdom. So by the way that you and I live, by the way that we live together as church, we're to be telling people, look up, watch out. The kingdom of God is near. When I gave birth to our third child, Molly, I did, as people of my generation do, I posted her picture on Facebook. And amidst the usual words of congratulations, there were an awful lot of comments like this. What? You have another baby? We didn't even know you were pregnant. In the busyness of life with two kids, Mike and I had failed to communicate to many of our friends the fact that there was good news on the way, that a child was about to be born, to look up and to be expectant. The church is meant to be the sign of God's coming kingdom in our neighborhood. At Christ Church, we are to be salt and light to the city of Oshawa. We're meant to be proclaiming by our lives, individually and together, that the kingdom of God is near. And I want to give you an example of that in the story of Angie. Pastor Heidi Newmark wrote a book called Breathing Space, and she tells Angie's story in her book. Angie was a mom from South Bronx, which is where this church was in. And as part of her baptismal classes, Angie had to stand up in front of everyone and explain to them why she wanted to become a Christian. Newmark writes, "Angie got a glass of water, and she set it in front of her. And then she slowly opened a Mary Kay jewelry case, and she took out a pink pouch, which was filled with multicolored pills. She counted them out one by one in silence, and then she swallowed them. When the last pill was swallowed, Angie stood up. 'That's my HIV medication,' she said. 'I'm a Christian because the church welcomed me as I am, HIV positive, a recovering addict, and a child of God filled with grace. Taking care of my health is part of my stewardship. Now, by the grace of God, I want to live. I want to live for my son. I want to live for the people still out there on the streets, just like I was. I want to live because Jesus lives in me and through me. It's not just my body anymore. I'm part of his body, the church.'" This is what happens when the church, which is you, which is me, which is everyone who follows Jesus, this is what happens when we live in the way of Jesus' kingdom. This is what God created the church for, to be a sign of the kingdom and to be an instrument of it in this world. So we are the people who pray and live for the kingdom. On the next slide is, that's our new logo. And I just wanted to explain the logo because it relates to what we've just been talking about this morning. My hope and prayer for Christ Church is that we will always be a people who reflect God's kingdom, that we repent when we fail to do so and return, that we will always be a people who pray for God's kingdom, for its coming, and who join God in working for its fulfillment. So the circle is meant to represent the world, and the dark blue part, that's the earth, and the light blue part is the heavens. And together, heaven and earth are being brought together through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The logo is meant to reflect the kingdom prayer that Jesus taught us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Friends, may we never individually or together forget Jesus' great calling for us. May we continue in new ways to join in God's kingdom building work in our city. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, for the hope that he gives us and the hope he offers our world. We thank you for your great love for your creation. And we thank you that you have called us your church to serve you in your world, to be a sign of your kingdom, and to be an instrument in its coming. May your kingdom come in our own lives, in our relationships, in our families, in our homes, in our places of work, our places of study, the places where we volunteer. Help us, Lord Jesus, we pray, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to be bearers of your kingdom in our world. We pray this with gratitude and hope in Jesus' name. Amen.